Eve, I wanted to start where you started. What was it that sparked an interest in journalism for you?
Apparently, I have a problem with authority, and that followed me through high school and followed me through college. But initially, actually, I went into nursing, and I thought I was going to kill somebody because my biology and chemistry grades were really bad. And I knew I liked to write and read, and I loved to question authority, and so it was just natural progression to become a journalist.
You graduated with a journalism degree from UC Boulder. You worked in Colorado for 10 years and then briefly in Minnesota for a number of papers before you moved to Helena in 1993. You originally began reporting city county government. You did that for about 5 years. Just how well do you get to know a community? And then how well do you start to maybe appreciate the things that a small government does that most of us in our day-to-day lives don't even think about?
I can't go past certain houses where I've been to fires, to floods, to murders, to all sorts of various mayhem. It just, you really do get to know the community as well as the players, and not just what decisions were made, but why they made those decisions.
You moved into covering natural resources and the federal government, and you spent a lot more time regularly with some of the most controversial issues in our state, a lot of them being wildlife issues, what to do with wolf management, bison management. Covering them for so long, what do you think it is about issues like wildlife issues in Montana that makes them so controversial every time the smallest decision is made?
I think it's because people are very passionate about wildlife, especially in Montana. It's part of the reason we live here. And that goes national and international because people project their feelings and their emotions on these animals, and they endow them with these human personalities where wolves are either these family, they mate for life, and they're these warm, cuddly things, or else they're the evil wolves in Little Red Riding Hood, and with the big teeth, and they're awfully nasty, and we make the give them human characteristics, and it's very polarizing when you do that because they are none of these things that we put on them. They are wild animals, and they do what wild animals do, and that's survive. And while the stories may be about the critters, the stories really are about the people and people's reaction to the critters, whether you be an insider or an outsider.
So also in covering natural resources, you've also been able to see how the landscape in the Rocky Mountain West has changed in the years since you have started reporting, and that's particularly been the case with wildfires.
When I started down in Colorado, of course, we had that was in 87. We had had the fires of 88 here in Montana, but you didn't hear much about wildfires at all. And then we didn't have much to speak of in Montana when I moved here in 93. And then all of a sudden, it seemed in 2000, all hell broke loose. We in Helena alone, we had the Bucksnort Cave Gulch fires, two fires start simultaneously. I ended up being evacuated, but still reported on that. I lived in the Bucksnort area. 2 weeks later, we had the Model-Tostin fires took off. 2 weeks after that, we had the Boulder-Hyore fires. So that was six wildfires in Lewis and Clark, Jefferson, and Broadwater counties in a matter of 6 weeks. It was absolutely amazing. And at the end, everybody was thinking, well, what the hell was that? Especially since we mainly had the volunteer firefighters were doing the initial response along with DNRC. DNRC would say after 24 hours, we need to pull back. We couldn't get Forest Service in here for another 48 hours, and you just had these guys, these accountants and fence stringers and the county sheriff, and all of a sudden they're supposed to be protecting all of these houses and people's lives, and there's these huge wildfires, and it was absolutely crazy. Things were a little quieter in 01, then exploded in 03, exploded again in 2007. It's fascinating to see how we have evolved, how the first responders, all of those volunteer now work, they work and train with the Forest Service, with DNRC. They've got mutual aid calls from various
DNRC,
communities.
the Department of
Department
Natural
of Resources
Resources and Conservation.
And also with the law enforcement and how they have embraced As we have the new multimedia in order to get the message out immediately when there are these emergency situations. And it amazes me, these people who run in and run toward the danger where everybody else is running away from it. I have so much respect for them.
So last week when you're leaving the Independent Record, you write a swan song of sorts. And the first thing you write here, you say, a former coworker told me a decade ago, there are two things you never want written about you in a newspaper, overcorrected on a curve and left to pursue other interests.
Well, you know what happens when you overcorrect on a curve. That'd be bad. And left to pursue other interests. So often when when somebody gets fired or when they're told you need to resign now, the euphemism for that is they left to pursue other interests. And so I was one of the few lucky ones that I have a great new interest to pursue, which is along the same nonpartisan lines as I always have done. But yes, I am leaving to pursue other interests.
You write about journalism, I hope I'm just stepping aside until those who make the dollars make sense can come up with a new business model for this industry I love. What are your views of the journalism industry, particularly the journalism industry here in the state?
We have a lot of great new young journalists. We have a lot of really good older journalists, but I think there's been a significant brain drain. If you look at Gwen Florio, Ed Kemick, Mike Babcock, all of these people who know the issues and have been around for a long time and are relatively fearless have left because they see the handwriting on the wall. Journalism and newspapers are a three-legged stool. You have your classified ads, you have your display ads, and you have your circulation. Well, we got Craigslist, and that kicked out that classified ads leg. Then with the internet, all of a sudden the circulation issue arose, and newspapers aren't really sure what they're going to do and how they're going to reinvent themselves and what business model they can use now. But while we're trying those new things, the journalism that I came to know and love, which would be the in-depth investigative, sit down and create a spreadsheet and see where that information leads you, I haven't been able to do that for years. Well, maybe just a year. But there were stories sitting on my desk far too long that I needed to do and I couldn't do. And so I think it's a good time for people who don't know how we used to do things to try to develop these new models and these new ways of getting the information out there in a 24/7 news cycle. It's just not what I want to do and what the Ed Kemicks and Gwen Florios of the world want to do.
Do you see that as being a concern for young people entering college as you did in the 1980s? Do you think the same types of people will be drawn to journalism that once were?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're still going to get the people who need to question everything. If your mother says she loves you, question it. That's always been the mantra. But I think more than that, the problem is when we get this kind of turnover in the newsrooms that we're not moving the conversation forward with the issues. We get these people who look at it and say, oh, look, it's something new and exciting. And they don't know that that already has been reported on and that has been discussed and cussed and resolved. And now we need to move the discussion forward. But instead, we're bound to repeat those conversations because the new reporters have to get educated and they don't have the old school there to say, we already did that story and we need to move forward with what's new for our customers and our readers, our subscribers.
Okay, finally, Eve, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, you wake up here on Monday, it's sort of your first day in a very long time, not being a working journalist. What is that morning like?
It was fabulous because it was Monday and it was Martin Luther King Day, and I didn't have to work because my new job has it off. I get all those national holidays off now, where I used to have to go into the office and realize that all of the state and federal agencies were going to be closed. Everybody was out playing except for me, and I needed to find something to fill that day's newspaper, the next day's newspaper, and I didn't have to do that anymore. And I kind of did a happy little dance and went out for coffee.
Fabulous. Well, I've been speaking with Eve Byron, longtime reporter for the Helena Independent Record, now working for the National Institute on Money in State Politics in Helena. Eve, thank you so much for your time. Such a great discussion.
My pleasure, Dan.